standby passengers, see me at the podium. Your seat is empty.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Monique.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Laura. We have a fun show this week. We're going to talk about Staff Traveler, the app. And we also have a guest who's an aviation celebrity and someone we know you're going to love. We're going to be talking about Dorkfest and how excited we are about that. So let's meet our big wig guest. This week, we have Brett Snyder on with us. Hi, Brett.
Hi, guys. Big wig guest, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're a big wig.
So recently, we've got some questions about the Staff Traveler app we've talked about in the past a little bit.
We have on the program.
And we love it.
Yeah. But we've had some people kind of wondering kind of what it is and what you can do. And we think so much of what we thought we'd try to answer some of those questions and kind of explain a little bit more instead of just kind of like, it's there, go use it. I think when we had Sam on a while ago, he was very excited about it. Remember him? He's like, you've got to have it.
Sam the pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you're non-revving at all, you need the app.
So what is the app? What does it do?
It is a pretty cool app that helps you find out whether or not you can get on a flight, any flight.
And yeah, it helps you get loads from other airlines, because with our airlines, we can get our own, find out how they are. Unless you are like Ryan up in, where's he at? North Dakota?
Uh-huh.
In Fargo, where he works for a cargo. So he gets the benefits, but he may not have access. It's a way that, yeah, we can find out loads on other airlines.
Yeah, so we can find out how full a flight is. And then what also is nice about it is you can find out how many non-revs are already listed for it as well. So you may think, great, this flight has 20 open seats, but it's got 30 people listed. You kind of go, okay, that's...
You remember the old way, the Facebook way?
Yeah.
There still is the group out there. And you would just put, like, I'm going to fly on Southwest to Salt Lake and throw it against the wall. And hopefully someone would see it. But they had like 100,000 people and constantly throwing it at the same wall. And so you try to help people that were flying on your airline, but it just felt like...
When you text me a lot of times and be like, can you just write bump in the comments to like move it back up to the top so people can see it again?
Yeah, because it was so hard. But it was, at the time, it was great, but I always thought something needs to be created that's a little more efficient. And this is it.
Like, this app is it.
Yeah.
And I think this app has been around longer than we knew about, because we learned about it from Rachel when we first started this show.
Who's a guest.
Counter guest.
It's called Staff Traveler. It's a blue icon.
Well, and what's so great about it is employees can get it, but also their benefit people can have it. So
you mean anyone that's eligible under their, with their benefits.
Yeah. Because I remember even like Claudia was like, what is that thing again? You talked about it. And we actually reached out to him and we talked to him and we said, "How is it okay for everyone?" And I said, anyone that has benefits.
So Claudia's husband is a pilot.
Parents, spouses.
Children. Adult children.
Yeah. You just have to kind of show something that you have benefits, kind of. So, or some way. And they say they just delete it anyways. They verify it and then delete it. So they're not showing your, if it's a picture of your ID card or of the website where you look up loads with your name so they can verify it. Because they don't want to just have everybody as long as, but if you are someone that fits into that.
And it works on a credit system. So like when you first sign up for it, it gives you 2 credits.
5 credits to start.
Oh, 5 credits.
You get 5 credits to start.
Okay, yeah. Wow, get 5 credits to start.
That's nice.
And then each time you ask a request, it costs you a credit. Each time you answer a request, you receive a credit.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Because the other day I sat there and I was looking up something and I saw a whole bunch of requests for my airline, for our airline. So I just started answering them. And then 2 seconds later, they were all gone. And it wasn't just all on me. And I was like, wow. But I had 7 credits.
Yeah. Nice. And then when you get in a pinch and you're somewhere and you need to know the best ways to get out, we were flying out of Seattle recently and our flight filled up a little bit. And so if I wanted to know how other options were, and I could pull up and I see the list of the available flights and whatever ones I wanted to request, and I could get loads pretty quick to know, okay, that's not even an option. Like that's sold out with so many people listed, because it shows you the kind of plane, how many people are listed on, how many people are open. So you can kind of go, okay, get a pretty good availability. And things can always change in this non-revving, but...
But one thing I like about it as well is, so let's say, yeah, you are in Seattle and you're trying to get back to Phoenix. You put Seattle, Phoenix, and the date you're traveling. It will show you all the flights that are listed. So you'd be like, oh, okay, so there's like a 4 p.m. Southwest and there's a 7 p.m. and a 10 p.m. So you could go ahead, if you had the credits, click all three of them, have them out there, and then you can kind of see, okay, well, the first one doesn't look good, but the last two look good. So you kind of go like, okay, maybe try the first one. If not, I can get rolled over.
And people answering, I love those too, because then they can get three credits really quick.
Yeah, they get their credits.
Their way. And if you are not comfortable giving out loads, because some people aren't for personal reasons or for their airline reasons, you can also buy the credits. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one way too, that it's hard to imagine not having now, but when you're in a place when you're stuck, having that, or sometimes it's just nice to buy that Zed fare and hop on another flight and just get somewhere quick instead of taking three legs to get somewhere, because flights are so full. So
yep. If my flight was full and I could see somebody else was open and I could maybe, you know, fly them in a nicer seat, I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also the, if you were a commuter, I don't know how you would live without
Staff Traveler.
Without the app.
I think that's a good point. So they're going to do something special for our listeners, is once a week they are going to give out
50 credits. They're going to do like a raffle for a list. So they've set up this through the website. So what did it read out for us? So
it's it's stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge. So if you sign up for this Staff Traveler, which by the way is a free app, if you sign up for it, /non-rev lounge, then you'll be eligible for the 50 credits.
For the raffle for
it. For the raffle for the 50 credits each week.
Yeah. I would go check it out. I mean, even if you don't Zed a lot, and just get on and get the app. It's great to have, especially in a pinch, because the way the travel's been recently.
Well, I'm going to sign up Tawny and the three kids.
There you go.
There's four.
You can teach them. And you can teach them how to, how to look up their loads.
Yeah, well, our oldest, Ellie Jo's looking at going to Colorado this weekend. And so I was already like, if something happens, I'm going to need her to be ready. She's got to be ready with backup plans. So
yeah,
that's exactly what this app is backup plans.
And that's what they can come to you and say, oh, what is this? But if they have their own. And that they have those benefits, so
yeah,
they can know. And having those backups is so nice. That sometimes your airline doesn't fly the time that you want to. You want to stay on the day trip and you want to have the full day where your airline's last flight is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But you know, we could do another airline and get another 6 hours. But if you know that flight's full, you know, that's not an option.
It's a job saver too.
Yeah.
It is a job saver.
Because you're actually getting home to get back to work when you need it.
No, exactly.
Instead of sticking around for your flights that you know are full. Go hop on someone else if you can see that they have seats open.
And there's a deal where you can have your list of ones you requested and you can request an update. So there's times when I'll do a bunch of updates as you get closer because you know how things change so much. And all of a sudden you can just hit it and it'll ask that same. It costs you another credit, but it's worth it to know if things have changed.
Yeah.
It helps you limit things out too. Like I know that this flight is going to be so full in a week. Like, I'm not even going to look at it anymore. It's not an option. So you just cut it off your list and keep narrowing things down to your priority list. So.
And you used it when we went to Seattle.
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I honestly, I'm always on it. Just looking at backups. If flights have been so full, it would be nice if our flights were like 80% full, but they're not.
No.
So it's nice to see everything. If it's, when I was in Dublin coming back, I was looking to go on Qatar to Doha to get home. Completely weird, but if I could have got there, I knew I can get home from Doha.
Well, I'd say actually our problem is our flights are about 85% full, but then we've been having a lot of weather in the last few weeks.
It closes them.
So then all of a sudden they go from like 25 seats open that you feel comfortable to no seats, and you're like, okay, now we got to get backup plans.
Yeah.
And that's...
That's where Staff Traveler comes in.
Yeah, it's perfect for that.
It's been really helpful. If one thing, when we started this podcast till now, it's the thing I've kind of meeting the people that have listened and have been good friends have been, and then that using this. And I feel like lately I've Zed more just because how full it is. Flown on more airlines this year than usually. But
well, and I think it gives you the confidence to walk up to like that United counter when you know how many seats are actually on it.
Yeah.
You're not just walking up blind being like, I hope they have seats as well. You can walk up and be like, no, I know they have 40 seats. Like, I feel more comfortable already purchasing that Zed fare and going that direction.
So we'll have that link in our show notes. So click on that link and go sign up. And You get 5 free credits. Every person that you invite gets 2 more credits. Nice. If you feel comfortable, then answer the loads and you can start getting more. If not, then you can buy them for cheap. And that's just, it's great for a backup, or it's great just to, just in general.
So it's thestafftraveler.com/nonrevlounge.
All right. So let's get back to Cranky Flyer, Brett Snyder. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself, Brett?
Well, I live in Long Beach, California, under the departure path on most days from Long Beach Airport. I have been a lifelong airline dork and proud of it, and worked out of college. I started at America West in pricing there, and then went to grad school, then to United. And I have been officially not working for an airline now for over 15 years, which means I think I've fully recovered. I don't know. It's still not. It's not. You never fully recover, I think. But yeah. And so now I write Cranky Flyer, which I've been writing since 2006, the industry blog. And then we have the Cranky Concierge Travel Assistance Service, Cranky Talk Podcast, and a whole bunch of other stuff that we do.
You're an aviation writer too.
I do write a fair bit. Yeah. So the blog, and then we also have the Cranky Network Weekly, which we put out, which is mostly about schedule changes, network changes that airlines do each week, and occasionally write other places as well. But most of the time it's on Cranky Flyer.
Well, that's cool. Well, welcome to the show, Brett.
Thank you.
So I'm a big fan of your work, your writings, and there's a lot of different aviation writers out there and people, but I feel like a lot of them are very negative. And even though you have your times when you'll say, well, this airline kind of sucks because of this, you also will, I feel like you're very fair and you'll say, well, this airline does well at this. And so you look at both sides and I feel like you do a good job with that. And also it's not just straight negative. You also give some constructive criticism, not that you're saying, you know, you have to fix this because of this, but I appreciate that you do that and you put that in. So I've listened to your podcast for a long time, a couple of years now. It's perfect. And even certain things that we've talked about on our show, you talked about masks at one time because the whole COVID thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, I really like the way that you approached it. We should talk about, even though we're not as much like aviation, like we talk more travel than aviation. We consider sure. ourselves an aviation podcast, but we still talk about masks on planes because that's where we all work for the airline. So I enjoy the way that you do that. And we do have a friend, a mutual friend, that he doesn't like that you call yourself Cranky Flyer. So maybe you can explain what does that mean? He thinks that's such a negative thing. So where did that start and what does that mean?
Yeah, so that's a fair point. And it really is, I mean, I like the way you describe it because that's always what I'm aiming for is, you know, there is so much that's just pure negative about the industry and there's always another side and no one ever likes taking the side of like the big business, right? It's not as, not as fun for people to do that. But for me, having worked for airlines, that was always my goal, was to try and bring some sort of balance to it. And, you know, some people will tell me that I love the airlines too much, and other people will say I'm not hard enough on them. So you can never please everyone. But apparently, if I'm getting feedback on both sides, that means I'm doing something right. But the Cranky name itself, yeah, I've heard that plenty before. So it actually came because back when I was writing, and I started the site in 2006, and I was really encouraged by two friends of mine from grad school, not airline people at all. But they said, you know, you have so much random knowledge about the industry that somebody is probably going to have an interest in that. You should maybe start writing it and see if anyone cares. And so they really pushed me to do it. And my nickname with them, at least with one of them, was Cranky Pants. And so... So it became Cranky Flyer. And, you know, I didn't really think about it too much at that time. But within a couple of years, I was like, yeah, maybe that's not the right name. Like, you know, maybe that doesn't really fit perfectly. But by that point, people had already known the name and it had grown to that point where, like, it's not worth changing it. You can make any name make sense. I mean, you know, you can be Southwest and fly to Baltimore, right? So yeah. So it just stuck, and I said it's not worth changing it. But obviously, since my nickname was Cranky Pants with that friend, obviously I can be cranky at some point.
Well, that's fun.
I always wondered why it was cranky. Yeah. Cranky flyer, mm-hmm. Cranky Dorkfest, cranky everything.
Yeah. Once you use it, you might as well own it.
It's so stuck.
Branding's done.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're very excited to come out to Dorkfest. We've been inviting all of our friends and listeners to come out. We're excited to see everyone. But can you kind of tell us a little bit about how did Dorkfest come about? What's going to happen there?
Yeah, sure. So, I live in Long Beach, so just down the road from LAX. And LAX is a place that, and I grew up in the LA area, at least. And so for me, it's always been one of my favorite places to go and spot. Go and watch airplanes because you have such great just variety of airlines and aircraft types. And there's the in and out right at the end of the North Runways there where you can sit there and just be right underneath everything. This is a place I always like to come. And so it got to a point where I think I started just mentioning that, hey, I'm going to go up and watch some airplanes and, let's see if anyone wants to come join. And in the beginning, there weren't that many people, but then once a year and do it in September, it turned into a thing. and now it's more of a thing. But the goal has always been to not make it too much of a thing. And by that, I mean, it's not overly organized. There's no program, no event program, anything like that. It's come out, grab a burger, hang out at the park, watch the airplanes, and we're just all going to talk shop and have a good time. And so the main event this year is September 17th. It's from 11 on that Saturday, strategically designed for the non-revs to try and get in and out. But it doesn't always work so well these days. But there's nothing around it except we usually get a lot of goodies from airlines to raffle off to people. It just becomes this sort of, happy event, just good time. So the airlines like doing that as well, giving stuff away. And so I've got some pretty cool stuff this year. But last year, we had United gave away a Boom model, one of those supersonic ones.
Very cool.
Southwest brought a 727 from long ago when it briefly operated those. So that was cool to auction that off. But, usually tickets and goodies and stuff like that. So, and that's about it. And then there are other things that have grown up around it. So NYC Aviation, they do their annual Spot LAX where the New Yorkers come out and hang out and watch planes. And so we now do it on the same weekends and they have their own events. So things just sort of grow up around it. But, technically 11 to 1, almost always get there earlier and stay later. But come have a burger and hang out.
And so the three of us were there last year. We had a great time. You had a big crowd, and I think you're probably expecting even a bigger crowd. I listened to airline videos because you were on with them a few weeks ago. And then the next week they had from New York Aviation, and they said they had a book of rooms to the H Hotel. They sold them out. They got another. They sold those out. So I think you're going to expect quite a few people to come.
Yeah. So the NYC Aviation guys, at least they can track that stuff. Since this is such a not organized event for Cranky, we don't know who's going to show up. We never know. But yeah, I mean, I think last year was a really fun year because it had been so long since people have just hung out with each other that we're used to seeing every year. And so it was a lot of fun. And then it certainly didn't hurt that the Wall Street Journal wrote us up on the front page. So I think that starts to get some more traction with it. And now my main goal is trying not to turn it into a circus. That's the hard part. It's just making sure that it's just hang out. That's it. This is not a big deal. It's fun. Come do it. But we don't want to turn this into some monstrous event with admission and whatever else. It's not that.
Well, I have to tell you the story. So Monique and I we flew in for just the day last year. Monique and I, Brittany, our friend Brittany, she's a British Airways flight attendant. And we're getting on the plane in Phoenix. And one of my
coworkers said, hey, Laura, where are you guys going? I go, we're going to Dorkfest. And he's like, what's Dorkfest? And then way down the line, there was someone behind us getting ready to board. And he yells, I'm going to Dorkfest too. So we all hung out together and we all became friends. And now we're all friends and we chat all the time. It's kind of fun.
That's awesome. And that's the kind of thing. I mean, there are people that I have probably not seen outside of Dorkfest, but every year I get to see them. And, you know, it turns into this ongoing just relationship. And it is a lot of fun. But I love that you start meeting people in outstations now. Like, that's great, like on the way in.
It was so fun. So
we're going to need to get someone to start chartering a plane or something if we get enough people from one place.
Dorkfest plane. Okay, so you worked for my favorite airline, AmericaWest Airlines. Can you share some of your favorite memories of your time with them?
Well, I actually started as a sales intern when I was in college. Not to get too into the weeds, but that was when the sales team had like a little outpost at 52nd Street, like next to AmericaWest Vacations.
Okay,
It was a weird little place, but because that's before, you know, headquarters opened, the new one. So I spent some time in Center Point and all that. And then when I got out of school, I started in pricing. And so that was in 99. And it was such a great time to come to America West. I remember telling people I was going to go there. They're like, why are you going there? Like, why would you not go to one of the big airlines or, you know, something? It's like, I'm telling you, this is like, I just got a great vibe from it and I loved it. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to learn and see where it was going. And I was not wrong. I mean, it was crazy at that time to be like on the management side, because you could have access to anyone. I mean, if you had a good idea, it didn't matter who you were. It could find its way up there and you could, you know, find yourself in front of a vice president. And I'm just a punk analyst. I don't know what I'm doing, but to have that opportunity was so cool and was like a sharp contrast to when I went to United later in life when I couldn't get anywhere with anything. But so that was just, it was a great thing for me. And then looking back, I mean, you see, you know, the people that I grew up under, like, I mean, when I started, our head of our department at the time was Scott Kirby.
Oh, yeah.
Running United now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, Doug Parker was there. He was CFO when I first met him. All these guys. I mean, Derek Kerr, Robert Isom was there. He was briefly the VP in revenue management, which that was not his area. But it was fun, though, because he actually had me and another guy. He had us help him get situated in that world. And he didn't stay for long. That was right before he left to go back to Northwest again. But he really appreciated our work. And he actually sent the two of us out to Hartford. And we got a tour of the Pratt & Whitney facility out there just as a thank you for having helped him to kind of learn more about the RM world. So, you know, having a lot of these sort of up close and personal interactions with people that are now running the biggest airline in the world, something like that. I just couldn't imagine having that opportunity elsewhere. And learning under Scott Kirby, when it comes to RM, I mean, you can't really put into words just how good he is at that, how smart he is.
I think he's brilliant anyway. I do.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
And he's gotten much better than it used to be, but he used to get well into the weeds on these things, which used to drive us crazy, but also was a great learning experience as well to see the things that he was paying attention to. So it was just kind of a really like special time to be there. And then of course, you know, after 9/11, when it didn't look like we had much of a future there, you know, I was on the team that redid all of our pricing and turned us into the low fare carrier away from the old kind of high fare Bill Franke led model that we had.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, I can still remember that day when I had to delete all of our fares and then we had to load the new ones and just thinking, man, I hope this doesn't error. Otherwise we have no fares. So it was an amazing ride. And the only reason I left was because I got into grad school. Otherwise I would have stuck around for sure.
Hey, you'd be working with me, kind of.
Yeah.
If someone would have came to you back then and said, nowadays, this is what America West would turn into, would you have believed them?
No way. Because look, I mean, I always felt we were like this overachieving airline that barely should have existed. You know, when you, you hate to say that, like, I love the airline, but when you think about the structure of the industry and everything else, it was definitely an outlier. I mean, one of the only ones to have survived for survived at all, but, you know, even imagine 5 years, like most of the airlines don't make it. And so, you know, for me back then, and I would also, this was, you know, around 2000, we were running a horrible operation and I was fascinated by the whole thing. So I would go out to the airport all the time and started to meet a lot of the people, and I learned quick, and they would let me go and, you know, work flights. They weren't union at the time, so I could just go and do it. And I would work flights. I'd go hop behind the passenger assistance counter and just like 3 hour long lines and just trying to help all these people. Ooh. Yelling at me one after the other. And I was like, man, this is, how is this happening? Like, how do you create an airline to run so poorly? And so, you know, seeing all that just the way it was, and then, you know, to say, oh yeah, it's now kind of the biggest airline. And by the way, you know, one of the other main players is now running one of the other biggest airlines in the country. Like, that's, it's insane to think that. But it was a special group, everyone from top to bottom, like just to be there at that time and, you know, get us to that point where we could survive and then get to the point where it is today. It was an amazing run.
It's a little airline that could.
Yeah, no kidding. It really was. And how many times should it have died, right?
Exactly.
You know, I think, you know, after the early 90s with bankruptcy and the half price sale and all that nightmare. And I mean, the fact that it even came out of that at all was incredible. But, you know, to get where it is today, yeah, can't really say any other airline has had that kind of trajectory.
Well, that's cool. Well, thank you.
So you said you've been out of the airline industry or out of the working for an airline for 15 years. Is there anything you miss about being in working for an airline?
Of course. Like, that's the problem. Otherwise, I could have fully recovered by now. But it is, there's like, I always loved. So one, I never liked consulting. Right. Because consulting, you kind of go in and you say, OK, here's what we should do. And then you leave and you don't actually get to do it. But when it comes to the airline, it's you're doing it. You're taking thousands of people every day and you're getting them where they need to go. It's a wedding. It's a vacation. It's whatever. All the personal stories of it. And I always love just being a part of that and, you know, doing these kind of, I don't know, just whatever jobs they were at the time. It was scrappy. It's a lot different now with the big airlines. You can't quite, you know, no more cross training or anything like that. But it's still just, you know, being a part of that, something that's such like an important part of people's lives and what they do. Like, that's one of the things that I miss a lot. And I know you could say that about, you know, maybe working for the power company too or something like that. But it's different, right? It's the complexity of it all. And there's such that tangible, like, here's the airplane and the network and everything else. I just love that whole complexity of it all. And, you know, I would say, I mean, this is the non-rev lounge, right? So I would say I miss non-revving, but I don't. I don't miss that at all.
You don't miss going standby?
I mean, how many times have we all been stuck, right? Like, that's the nature of the game. But it was so fun when I was in my 20s. But now with like a wife and two kids, and I just, I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I don't have it in me anymore.
Well, yeah. Do you have a fun non-rev story or an experience?
I probably have a million of them, but
did you have a favorite destination that you were able to non-rev to?
Well, see, I used to come to LA a lot because my grandpa was here. So I used to come out on weekends and I'd see friends and do that. So that was kind of the regular one where, like, you know, I'd try and take the same flights, get on one of those 5 p.m. departures. Well, depending on what time zone we were in Phoenix that time of year. But remember, we'd have like two or three going at the same time and you'd be like, the 737-200 looks more open, but what's the chance that plane's going to go? was like playing those games. So that was kind of the, like, my standard weekend if I didn't have anything else that I was going to do. But I mean, there are definitely some that stick out. Like, I remember we had the tradition. It used to be that you wouldn't get your flight benefits for a month after you started, or 30 days or whatever it was. I think you get them right away now, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So when you, or maybe it was 3 months, whatever it was, when you hit that threshold, the team, or at least some of the people on the team, we'd try and fly out to LA and we'd go to In-N-Out for lunch and celebrate the non-rev benefits there, which was fun. But I think maybe probably one of the most non-revy stories is back when we were in the throes of the worst operation. And a friend and I were sitting there on a Saturday and we were going to just go to Dallas. We thought, hey, we're going to go check out the C.R. Smith Museum, right? This will be fun. It's a dorky thing to do on a Saturday, and the flights were wide open, and so be it. And so we go out to the airport, flight's canceled. Okay, great. But the good news is we didn't need to be in Dallas, right? So we just started looking. All right, what's next? Okay, how about San Francisco? Got there, mechanical delay, probably going to be 3 hours. All right, forget this. We got to the point where we were like, all right, we are not leaving this airport unless it's on an airplane. And I don't know where we're going to go. And I don't know why we thought this was fun, but we did. And we flew a Dash 8 down to Yuma and stayed in Yuma for 2 hours and then flew back on a Beach 1900. This is in the middle of the summer, so, you know, that's always fun.
Bouncing around.
Yeah, after lunch. We really planned it well. We're like, this will be great. But that was still, as ridiculous as it was, that was so memorable. Because who would do that? If you had no non-rev benefit, you would never do that, right? No, there's no reason to ever do that ever. So, but that was fun. I did mostly online travel with America West. I did some international non-revving, but it was mostly online. I was just kind of having fun doing that. And then at United, I did a little more. I flew out to see friends in London for the night in first class when I was in Chicago. And again, you would never do that if you didn't have benefits. But, you know, those were all fun stories. There's plenty more that I would have done if I had the time and, stuck around the industry for longer. But so be it. Now I got to go buy tickets like everyone else.
And get a confirmed seat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not complaining. Like I said, I don't miss it. But it's still, those are the things I miss, are the ability to just decide, whatever, I'm going. I mean, there were Friday nights we're just sitting around. You remember there was that midnight flight to LAX? It was always on that old Suns plane, the 100.
Yeah.
I'd just be sitting around on a Friday night, be like, you know what? I'll just call a friend in LA. What are you up to? Ah, let's go. Or fly to San Francisco. That's the stuff you would never do if you had to buy a ticket. And that's the stuff that I miss about non-revving. Although now with two kids and everything, I know I wouldn't be doing it all that often anyway. But that's, yeah, those were fun times for sure.
That's great.
Well, that's what we have people coming for Dorkfest from all over the country. And a lot of those people wouldn't be coming if they couldn't just hop on a flight. You know, we can hop on almost any flight, you know, that the whole Zed fare. We can hop on Southwest for pretty cheap, or United or Delta or anyone. So that opens up our... And I think if we didn't have that, a couple weeks ago, I went to Dublin for 3 days because my wife had a friend had a baptism. And that's not something, we flew business class over on non-revving. Yeah. But that's something, I mean, that's not a cheap ticket to get. So we never would do that stuff. So
no, not at all. And the other piece of that, though, is how often can you get on that flight? So you got to.
Yeah,
you know, if you're doing this in the summer, I guess it's the tail end of summer, so it's opening up now. But you know, you try and do that in July. Good luck, right?
Yeah, it was we got lucky getting on, but it's not. I wouldn't suggest other people try Dublin in July, but we got lucky.
Yeah, and especially your buddy pass people. Don't send your buddy passes. Oh. Yeah,
I don't miss those. Let me tell you that, because people suck. No matter how much you trust someone, somehow they will screw this up for you.
Now, when you were there, were your buddy passes on paper or were they in the computer?
Oh, yeah, they were paper.
Remember those?
It was the paper, and you could use, what was it, like you could use a couple of them to get SA1P or something.
Yeah.
You could like three of them or something. But yeah, it was all paper. I remember when I was like, you know, you work for an airline, so you're young and broke, and I'd give people like buddy passes for their birthdays or something.
That's actually a good present.
Here. It was cheaper than like a bottle of whiskey or something. So, but yeah, it was fun. If they were flying with me, I loved it, but it always made me nervous trusting someone with a buddy pass.
Absolutely.
Well, that hasn't changed, so.
Yeah, there's definitely a trust level there.
Every so often you see those stories in the news, right, of someone, and I swear, like, you'll see him, like, I can't believe they treated me this way. And I'm like, that's a buddy pet? No, you are worth nothing. You just be quiet, and you do as you're told. Like, this is not for you to say anything. I'm amazed at the way people just have this weird entitlement about that kind of stuff.
It's strange.
Yeah, we see him at the gate.
I'm sure. It's miserable.
Getting back to Dorkfest. Okay, so what if people, after Dorkfest, after like you first started doing Dorkfest, what do they come up to you and say after attending? I mean, what are their thoughts on that?
I don't know. You know, people come up, like, first of all, it gets less and less fun for me every year because the more people come, the less I get to actually hang out with people because it's just constantly just so much going on. But, you know, that's why I'll usually find a group of people. Like this year, I've got some old friends. We're going to have dinner on Friday night, and I'll probably end up at the Proud Bird on the other side of the airport after Dorkfest with, you know, some of the hardcore people who want to hang around. And so what I usually hear from people is that they love this because, first of all, it's September in LA, so you know the weather's going to be fine. Like, depending on where you're coming from, you may have to worry about storms or something, but it's going to be fine in LA, which is nice. You don't have to worry about that piece of it. But also, it's just a great opportunity for people to get together again and see old friends. And I find that it's just one of those, like, you know, every September you can count on being able to see these people again and hang out and catch up and see what's going on. And so people like having that as just knowing here's the plan. Like, this is every September we'll meet there and we'll have a chance to see each other.
That's so cool.
And it's just fun.
Okay, so I called in and out corporate office, I think last week. And I said, I said, hey, there's going to be a ton of people here on September 17th. So, and I talked to a girl named Angela. I said, because last year when I was there, I said to the In-N-Out people, I go, did you know this was going to happen? They're like, no, we didn't know. And I said, well, I'll tell you about it next year. So I called them last week and said, and they're like, oh, we're going to have extra people there. We'll have more food there. Because I don't remember them running out of food, but they were like, they were super excited about the event.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they ever run out of food. That In-N-Out has to be one of the best performers. That is always packed. But I've never reached out to them. I know they're very, like, usually pretty quiet on things in general. You know, they're really insular. But, I mean, I share the same last name as the founders. So, you know, too bad I have no relationship.
Maybe way, way back.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But it is. It's such a... I mean, In-N-Out is such a big part of it because it is that Southern California institution, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can find a place to watch airplanes elsewhere, but where else can you have such a great vantage point with, like, a good burger and just that, you know, palm trees and all that kind of stuff you'd expect to see and such great, you know, variety of airplanes that it is just a really cool experience. And In-N-Out is such an important piece of that. I really should reach out to them. I don't know why I never did that, but I guess you've done it for me, so I'm good now.
Okay, just consider that my job. Great. I'll take care of that.
I started taking pictures of airplanes, getting into spotting early in 2019 with my cell phone, and now I've upgraded to a camera, and I love it. And I remember seeing everything from your event. I didn't even know about it, but it was on Twitter. And that was the year I think you had Oscar show up and bought hundreds of burgers for everyone. And I was just so jealous because I had no idea about it. So... I was really excited for it to come back. And so I was just to be part of that because I was thinking, these are my people, like, love aviation, love traveling, love being around the planes and just talking about it. So I'm excited that we get to come. One question I have for you. Last year, we could barely hear you when you did the raffle. Do you have any plans to upgrade that?
Yeah, it's going to be great this year.
Oh, good.
I say that, but I don't actually know for sure. But here's what I know. So LAWA, LA World Airports, they run LAX, they are stepping up. They say they are bringing like a little tent thing with the sound system and they're going to have, I think, some music in the background. I was like, all right, as long as it's not too loud, or that's okay. But they say they're going to have the sound system there, and so it should be way better this year.
Very cool.
I'm excited that, like, LAX every year, they're like, well, what do you think we should do? How should we do it? And I was like, look, it's up to you guys. And they had that idea this year with the sound system, and I was like, oh, perfect. Everyone will appreciate that. So
yeah, you're getting so many people that it's hard to hear. I know Lara won.
I won
Flight Radar 24 gold subscription. Oh. So we had a winner from last year here. So we're excited. Awesome. And we wish you could get your what you're going to give away, but we get your keeping that secret.
I can tell you there will be more Flight Radar 24 there. Ian from Flight Radar 24 is always there. He's usually the one helping amplify me, so you've seen him wearing his hat. But he will definitely be there with more. We do have, at least so far, I've got two airlines that are given tickets. I know there are more. I just don't have them yet.
Very cool.
I have one with the model, two with the model so far. I have trouble keeping track of it, but there are a couple that are really, really cool this year. I usually just talk to the airlines, and then it's up to them. And so, like, you know, they each year it seems like they get more and more into it, so they try and come up with something cool and different, whereas it used to be as simple as here's a ticket or here's a model or something, and now they're like, how do we outdo the others and do something even more fun? So I love it. And you know, I'm just gonna make sure that I can pick my own number if I need it. So
it's not... A couple of weeks ago, Lara and I were up in Seattle for ISIX, the barbecue. I think you commented. So we were up there for that, and they gave away, someone got two free first class on Alaska tickets. And so I know even as non-revs, we can fly for free, but we would love to win free airline tickets, because you know how stressful it is. So we can get rid of the stress.
That's the best. And yeah, I heard it was great up there at Isaac's thing, and I was in Canada then, but it's awesome that he's doing that. And I mean, anytime anyone does this, anytime we can all get together and just talk shop, it's the best, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's not like the politics or the stress. It's just hang out and talk, and you don't get that opportunity too often. So it's great.
Well, we talked about you have all these different things that you do, the concierge, you do a podcast. So talk about your podcast real quick, just kind of what it is, because we have podcast listeners hearing you. What you do, is it every other week, and it's a short show. I actually like it. It's short, to the point, but very informational.
Yeah, we do it short. So it's Cranky Talk. It comes out every other week. It usually goes live on Thursdays, but the following Monday I post about it on Cranky Flyer. So if someone's there, they can see, you know, what it is. And we, as we say on it, we talk about anything about the airline industry and sometimes beyond is what we say about it. So it's me and it's Dave. And Dave is this guy that has worked. He was actually my first employee at Cranky Concierge over 10 years ago. And he thinks of airplanes as flying buses. He does not care. He does not have the bug. He likes to travel. He likes all that stuff. But, you know, he's just not the airline guy. He doesn't have Jet A in his veins, right? So we end up sort of playing off each other to talk about these things. And it makes for an interesting discussion usually. And we try to keep it to about 15, 20 minutes if we can. Sometimes we go a little longer, sometimes even a little shorter, but usually around 15. We don't want it to be too long. So, you know, that's kind of the goal with it. And the topics are varied, but we always take suggestions. And usually tell people at info@crankyconcierge.com is the best way to email us. And if you have topics you think we should cover. And, you know, I just like to have fun at Dave's expense a lot of the time and get him to, you know, just get him in trouble or do something with it. So
Dave has grown on me. At first I was kind of like, who is this guy? And now I'm like, okay, he plays a good role with your show. So.
But that's the, and you know, it kills me because anytime like we're out somewhere and we'll see people, like we had a Cranky Concierge thing. We do an annual gathering for the team since we're all remote. And we had it in Dallas earlier this year. And we got a tour of American's IOC, the Operations Center, and also at Southwest. And people are like, oh, you're Dave, man, I love you. I'm like, dude, stop this. You're going to get to his head. We cannot have this. But yeah, he definitely has his cult following there. Because it's not the kind of person you'd expect to be on a airline or travel podcast. So,
well, that's
so
why
we have fun with it.
That's why he's perfect for that.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, that's what Tyler does with Mo, because Mo is always the funny one, and Tyler, it just burns Tyler. Everybody's like, oh, Mo.
Well, Tyler knows his aviation, and I'm just like, is it a big plane? That's what I care about.
No.
Yeah.
She's our Dave.
No.
A little bit.
You just care that it's a big plane. So you would not like the Beach 1900 from Yuma, is what you're saying.
It was a real tiny
She probably thing. Doesn't. She's like, what is that? Isn't that better? 19 than, seats, little prop.
Better than driving, though.
So everyone go sign up for the Staff Traveler using the link stafftraveler.com/nonrevlounge. And you'll be entered to win 50 credits in a raffle that's given away once a week. And you can get that link in our show notes as well.
Well, thanks for being our guest, Brett. And we're excited to join you in 10 days on September 17th. And to our listeners, let us know if you're even thinking about coming so that we can make sure we can get you some updated information about our plans. And you can let us know at nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com.
Well, thanks for joining us, Brett. We really appreciate you taking time, and we're excited to maybe meet you in person. Last year, we were so many people will come up and say hello this year, and look forward to your event.
Thanks for having me on. And yeah, so here's a hint for this year. I am going to be wearing a bright fluorescent yellow AHA t-shirt that they sent me before they went out of business. So I figure this will be the easy way to find me, just a fluorescent yellow t-shirt. So definitely hunt me down. I will be there, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Perfect. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 400,000 people from all airlines in the world and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.